I got some interesting feedback after last Sunday's message, and we looked at the cost of agape love. And truly the love that we see from God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, it came at a cost. And the great love could never be earned or worked for by us. It is received as a gift. But realizing what it cost helps us to appreciate that love all the more. God the Father seeing his Son die in the crucifixion, the Son dying in such a horrific manner, were significant costs. And there was much more we talked about last week, but that's the main idea. And to further that, we who have Christ dwelling in us are to show that same love to others, even when it costs us to show it. This leads us to some encouragement for today. That's kind of how John writes. We're going through the first letter of John, and John loves to write challenges followed by encouragements. And after last week's message, you know, I felt some conviction on some things. Things that I need to change. Agape love, that unconditional love, is a love that is a choice. Not something that changes with our emotions or our feelings. And I have more work to do in this area, and this is one of those areas that I think it's safe to say that there's always room for improvement, no matter who you are. Showing love to others is something that we probably all have areas that could be improved. But verse 16 of chapter 4, 1 John, is where we ended last week. And that really, that verse leads us into our next section of Scripture. So I really wanted to just take a moment and read 1 John 4:16. Look at that for a moment and then get into our passage for today. So turn with me to 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. When we know God, we know his love, and we rely on his love. We rely on that love because we cannot earn it, and we need it for today. We need his love for this morning. We need his love for today. We need his love for tomorrow, for the time to come. We rely on his love for our future with him as well. God is love, and when we live for him, we're setting ourselves apart from the destructive and sinful world. We are living in his love and allowing his love to flow out of us to those around us, showing agape love to others. And with this, with God living in us and we live in him, we can be encouraged. And that's what we'll see in our next section of Scripture, starting with verse 17, going through 21. 1 John 4:17 through 21. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, that second half of that passage is something that I've talked about a lot already as we've gone through this first letter of John. And I'll be focusing more on the first part of those verses. And as we live in God, His love is made complete. And John tells us that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. I'll move back to the previous slide. He tells us that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him and have nothing to fear. So as I'm sitting in my office reading over this and trying, asking the Lord, what should I preach on this section of Scripture? And then I get to that little verse that says that you may have confidence on the day of judgment. I start wondering, Lord, the day of judgment, it's just a little. John doesn't spend a whole lot of time. He just says it quickly and moves on. But I'm thinking, obviously those he's writing to know exactly what he's talking about. But for us, I think we need to slow down here. John quickly mentions the day of judgment and moves on, and I think that we need to talk about the day of judgment, so we all know what John is referring to. Because it really is something huge that we need to know. Well, it is and it isn't. And I'll get to the reason why in just a little bit. But should the day of judgment be feared by others, what is it? Yet before I get to talking about that, I want to look at an illustration. Have you ever been called into your boss's office? Teens? Have you ever been called to the principal's office? I remember as a deputy being called or summoned to go talk to the sheriff in his office. That's my boss, and when you're summoned to go to his office to talk about something, it could be a cause to worry. If there was nothing, he would usually just swing by my office while I'm working on something and we'd just chat. But come to my office, please. I need to talk to you about something. Did I do something wrong? What happened now? There were times I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong, and I really didn't worry about going down there. I didn't. There were other times I was kind of like, well, I could get a talking to about this, or I could get a talking to about that, but they're not really big deal. I can explain why I did this or did that. So those may have been some times where I wasn't really sure, but there were other times that I did something against policy or I knew I had a reprimand coming. It's those times that I was a little more nervous because I was uncertain of what the reaction would be. Clearly, I knew I had a talking to coming and I would own up to whatever I did. But it's the times that you know that you did something wrong and now you have to face the consequences. It's not fun if you've ever been there. All the teens are saying no about principal's office. I guess homeschoolers, what do? Get summons to dad's room? Yes. But it's those times where you have to face the consequences. You got to face the music. You know you did something wrong. How bad is it going to be? How about facing God and having all your sins laid out? Every sin, every sinful thought, every sin that you knowingly committed. Oh, how about the other list? Every sin that you unknowingly committed. Because sin is a sin is a sin, whether you knew it or not. What if everything you had ever done, everything you had ever said, even every thought, made it onto a list, and you're now having to face the consequences for what you've done? I know my memory is not great, and I know the list would be long for me, but all the things I don't remember, it's a daunting thought. Look at what the author of Hebrews has to say in Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. I know there's a lot more around these verses, but here's what this verse is getting pretty clear at. Should Christ await his return, we are all facing two things. We're facing physical death, and we're facing judgment. John speaks of judgment in his gospel. So let's look at John's gospel in chapter 5. John 5:22-29. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and I will not be condemned, He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus will be the judge on the day of judgment. And though verse 29 points us to works, we also know that no one is good. Not even one. Only Christ is perfect. Yet it is through Christ that we receive his goodness, our sins forgiven, paid for, and atoned for. Those who were not perfected by Christ, meaning those who did evil, will rise to be condemned. I'll leave it at condemned. I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Those who are in Christ will rise to life. That's eternal life. John has a little more to say about some of the details of the day of judgment in his Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I'll be looking at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead and were in it, And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown down into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This section of scripture is very important to understand. It gives us a glimpse at what the end of humanity looks like, the end of human history, the end of the earth, the end of that particular heaven. And there's an eternal state that begins. I say that particular heaven because we're told that there is a new heaven and a new earth coming. The old have passed away. So when we looked at this Revelation 20 where he says that there was no place for the earth, that's what he's getting to. The fallen earth will be done away with, and there'll be a new earth coming, a new heaven coming. It's an age that never ends but remains for eternity. John's revelation shows us everyone dies and everyone stands before the throne. But getting back to my story of being called into the boss's office, we're being called to the throne room. Now, we've all messed up. We know that. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." None of us are perfect, and all of us deserve death. Now, this isn't just physical death. This is also spiritual death, the separation from God to a place of eternal torment. If we were judged by our works, that is where we would all end up. That Revelation passage talked about being judged according to what you have done. And such judgment led to the lake of fire. So far, those being tormented in hell have not been cast into the lake of fire, but that happens on the day of judgment. It is then that they receive in full the consequences of their sin. Their eternal destination is the lake of fire. But the good news is Christ. Romans 6:23 that I have here, that it says that the wages of sin is death, but that's not the end of that verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Jesus looks at the books and finds our name written in his book, the book of life, we're ushered into a new heaven. For the torment of the lake of fire is not our destination when we are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know that that would be new news to anyone that's been a Christian for a while. But if you didn't know that, it's something we all need to know. Is that there is a time coming that everyone will be judged. You will either be in the book of life or you won't. Let's read the first part of our scripture that we have today one more time. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. I don't want to diminish the seriousness of hell. I don't want to diminish the seriousness of the lake of fire or judgment. But John is giving us a huge, and I mean a huge piece of encouragement, that by receiving Christ and his agape love, which equates to receiving Christ as our Lord and living for him, our names are written down in the book of life. That's the Lamb's book of life. Well, who's the Lamb? Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb, dying in our place. That means we can walk with confidence on the day of judgment. We have nothing to fear. John says fear comes from punishment. But if we are going to be judged righteous in Christ because he made us so, then there is nothing for us to fear. Perfect love. God's agape love is perfect, and as followers of Christ, we receive the fullness of his love. There is nothing for us to fear. Yes, our bodies may die, but we have nothing to fear. What encouragement. That's encouraging. So I look at when John just writes that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we'll be like him. It's like he just passes over it. Again, showing us that we can have the confidence that he had. And with that encouragement, John has to throw in that repeated warning for us to think about. So we have our encouragement. And then we go back to another warning, verses 20 through 21. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And we again see the command to love. Yet we know that when Christ is in us, the love should also be a trait that we carry that comes from him. God is love, and therefore, love needs to be in us as he is in us. And though the encouragement we see from John is kind of sandwiched between the call to love each other, we must remember that Christ is the reason we have hope. We have a future to look forward to of eternal life. Because of Christ's death, our sins are forgiven. And because Christ rose from the dead, we look forward to living eternally with Christ in heaven. And as I mentioned before, that Christ was the sacrificial lamb. He took our place. And today we remember this even more through communion. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. The confidence that John spoke of on the day of judgment comes because of what Christ did, because of what the bread and the cup represent. We look forward to life with him. Because of his work on the cross, we have that hope of when the day of judgment comes, that our name is in the book of life.